Last time on Culture File, we heard from Lorcan O'Toole, who managed the Golden Eagle's reintroduction to Ireland, as well as working to bring back birds such as the red kite and the white-tailed eagle. But there's one bird common to the island centuries ago that obsesses O'Toole like no other. The Eurasian crane, commonly known as the crane, has a lost significance that O'Toole has long looked to recover, as he explained to Culture File's Áine Gallagher.
The crane was probably the fourth most common bird species found in archaeological excavations in Ireland. In Britain, it's probably the second most common bird name and place names. And it just has a lot of cultural and historical references that I think we have overlooked. And part of that reason may be because it was so important to the beliefs and the spiritual opinions of people in a pre-Christian era. We're sometimes a little bit reluctant to talk about the animist era before humanists and Christianity, but surely there was a certain amount of wisdom and intelligence for those communities that built the likes of Newgrange, for example.
When and why did the crane become extinct in Ireland?
Again, it's quite curious because they're a very relatively common species in Germany now. They're reaching fairly high densities. You're really talking about a species that in the past could have had anything from 10 to 20 to 30,000 pairs in Ireland. It is a good question how and why and when did they become extinct. We believe that cranes that last nested in Ireland toward the end of the 16th century, maybe creeping into 1605, 1610, it's hard to pin down, but you're talking basically 400 years ago. And I've asked a lot of people, well, how come cranes became extinct before the wolf? There must have been plenty of wetland habitat. Was it disease? Did they catch avian flu? Was there a deliberate aim to drive them out, shoot them, trap them, poison them? It is a curiosity as to why the cranes became extinct. And they became extinct all across Ireland, Scotland and England about the same time. It's very strange to think that a species that was once so common was driven totally to extinction. We don't know the answer. I have been looking at cranes and asking individuals about cranes and tentative links with our ancient past and our language and maybe some of our cultural attributes. I wonder whether in an era when people might have had a favourite animal, a totem animal, very often we hear about it in mythology in Egypt or Mesopotamia or Greece or maybe even Rome, that they follow big aggressive predatory animals. And I think that the fact that the crane was a sociable animal, cooperative animal, I think that could have psychologically, I've asked people who are qualified, I'm not, could your totem animal have an impact on your society and your mindset? And I think that the people who followed a cooperative, sociable, flocking and somewhat caring animal, because they do look after weaker members of the flock, I think that could have had an impact on early societies and early outlooks. I think there are a number of other benefits from associating and watching cranes as well. Personally, I'm very confident that there was a strong link with cranes in the distant past that has largely gone uncovered. So I looked at aspects of archaeology, of language, of knowledge in general, and also of belief systems, early belief systems, before the kind of world religions we know today. So, for example, if people followed crane flocks in some form of spiritual belief, they may have noticed that they would have often come to very rich grasslands full of starch. And at some stage, humans started to eat the grasses. Archaeologists might say if humans eat grass seed, they won't actually get the nutrition. They have to slightly heat them before they make flour and get the nutrition. But, you know, maybe there was a lot of the areas where the earliest farming started in the world are associated with crane flocks. And maybe it's a coincidence, maybe it's not a coincidence. Cranes are good for warning that other predators are coming. I think even in Ukraine and Poland in the 1930s, even people were keeping cranes almost as guard dogs. So they would tell that maybe there was a wolf coming, maybe that there was something happening to livestock. If you were living in the dry steppe, maybe in Turkey, or if you were moving through an environment when people were still nomadic and you're looking for fresh water, the cranes will fly to water outside of the breeding season. They will fly to water at night time and they'll fly from water in the morning time because they like to stand or roost or sleep standing up in the water at night time. So if you see cranes overhead and where they're flying, that can help you in a landscape that you're not familiar with and you don't have maps, if you think of that era. We know with the humanist era, the whole attitude was we're in charge of the planet. You're my subject, I'm the object, I'm the subject, you're the object. And then the physical became much more important. If you go back far enough, it could be that we've overlooked a lot of intelligence and wisdom and custom and tradition that didn't suit the norms of the day in the 3rd, 4th or 5th century. We're here in Glenveagh, we're very close to Garton. In 2021, there's the 1500th anniversary of Niamh Colum Kille, St. Colum Kill, very important early Irish Christian. He was known to say his mass or service in a pre-Christian era on Iona with two cranes on his altar. And you might say, oh, that's cute. Maybe it's a bit more than cute. Maybe there's a reason, there's a linkage of his early generous spirituality that might have had connections with the cooperative, vegetarian, intelligent crane ideas, whatever they were, as people started to think about their own lives. You know, you're a pretty intelligent animal if you can get up in the winter time and move to a warm place. Yeah, that sounds a bit facetious, but I don't think we think enough about where we come from and the landscape we are living in. And we have one set of storylines that have largely been penned in an era since the 7th, 8th and 9th century onwards. And let's be honest, that era was dominated by maybe Roman Christianity in comparison to early Christianity or other beliefs. So maybe we should look under the rock a little bit and ask a few more pointed questions.
Lorcan O'Toole there, and Áine Gallagher was the reporter. If you'd like to get a copy of Lorcan's book, Core Scale, Crane Notions, you can contact him via the Golden Eagle Trust Facebook page.